This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Good to be back. Now, there's a new group started up, the Book Industry for Climate Action Group.
Or BICAG.
BICAG, yes. Sophie Cunningham is an author, and Sophie's here to talk about it. Good morning, Sophie. How are you?
I'm good, good.
So, Sophie, I'm interested. The Book Industry for Climate Action Group. Tell us why, and what would you like, you know, what are the goals? What do you need? What would you like to achieve through this group?
Well, we started... As an extinction rebellion.
You'll need to stop pressing the buttons.
Yeah, stop pressing the buttons on your phone, Sophie, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, my ear pressing the buttons. I'll hold it further away, the phone. The Extinction Rebellion had this notion that people could set up interest groups, and I was interested in that because I do think that with all the different pressures that have arisen in the last few years, that people are sort of running around in a bit of a panic, and a group of us were really like, where can we make a difference? What can we do? And I don't know that we're exactly part of Extinction Rebellion now, but out of those conversations, a group of women who work in bookshops are authors, not just women, but so far it's been mainly women, and in publishing started to meet and try and think through those questions about what actual difference could we make. One of the answers is that a lot of people are doing a lot of things, and we're finding out about that. So a lot of publishers have started doing things, and that can be things as small as, you know, recyclable coffee cups, but it can also be looking at where you print your books, what kind of paper you print your books on, whether you recycle books, and sort of practice work practices, because you know, it's a very paper heavy industry, and logging is one of the issues that is obviously very contested, and you know, as the days, as the weeks go on, it becomes even more contested.
Sophie, is the work that you're doing a little bit like trying to manage your footprint, your ecological footprint?
It's that. I know we're also trying to think of consciousness raising. So we've put out a pamphlet, which is sort of books on climate issues, some of which are, you know, fiction and thrillers, some of which are more serious scientific analysis of the changes that the planet is undergoing. And that's just because a lot of people do say to us, what should I be reading? How should I understand what's going on? So some of it just... And so quite a few of the ideas we have had have been around this idea of just trying to keep the conversation going. Because we're going through a period of really rapid change, the pandemic, which is another example of how adaptive and how quickly we're having to move in response to things. And so we're partly wanting to just communicate really clearly with people about some of those things. But we're about to get together as a group to meet, to work out exactly what it is we want, because there's been such interest in what we're doing, and we realise we don't want to just run around like headless chooks.
I think it's a fascinating topic area, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I've actually found that my reading behaviours and patterns have changed because I do a lot of my work now online.
Yeah.
I now find it difficult to actually read a hard a hard copy book. In fact, I was given a book for Christmas. Fabulous little story, a local story, and I've forgotten the author's name, but the book's called The Trauma Cleaner, I think.
Yes, it's Sarah Cranstein.
Gorgeous story, gorgeous story.
Yeah.
And I was given the hard copy, and I just could not get into it. I took it away with me, and I could just not get into it. And then I thought, look, I'm going to be really bold and see if this makes a difference. So I purchased a copy of it online and read it off my iPad. I devoured the book overnight.
That's interesting to me because I'm still, I use, I read digitally a lot, but I often do it for work because you can search and it's kind of that kind of stuff. But the novels, I must admit, I am still a kind of paperback.
Well, I find, because I read a lot of briefings and reports and sometimes they can mount up to hundreds and hundreds of pages, I don't want to have to print all that out. And then try to deal with the sort of privacy and security of the disposable, all of that. So I now just read all of that online. But what I've found is that over the last couple of years, I've adapted now to, you know, enjoying reading online. I feel like I can control the size, the brightness, the volume, all that sort of stuff, which you can't do with a traditional hardback.
No, but I would say I think there's some interesting work has been done about digital footprints, and I do think it's a little bit of a fantasy that we all have that there's no, you know, carbon emissions.
Yes, of course.
But I'm not totally across all those figures. So while I think there are a lot of reasons to read digitally, I'm not sure that it's a total solution. But certainly print, doing massive print runs, knowing that 20% of that print run will be pulped that's ridiculous, you know.
That's one of the challenges, Sophie. I'm like you, I like, you know, the physical book. I read a lot digitally, but I like the physical book. You know, one of the things that I think, you know, and you've talked about recycling books, and, you know, one thing that I've always been a little bit annoyed about is I buy a lot of books, and, you know, keeping them and storing them and stuff is always a challenge. I'd like to give, you know, and, you know, I often lend books to people, and but I'd like to actually give these books that I've read, and I've usually read them two or three times over the years, to actually be able to give them to a library. And you know what? Libraries won't take them.
No, and a lot of secondhand bookshops won't take them either.
And, you know, I'm like, well,
I don't know. Nobody wants it, Macca. They're dust collectors now.
Well, okay, so why is the City of Melbourne spending millions and millions of dollars creating a new library site? People do go to libraries.
Yes, they do, but people go to libraries and they actually they do their knowledge consumption in a very different way now, Macca.
Well,
I mean, you cannot have a library without a bank of computers anymore.
No. Yeah, but you can also can't have a library without books, Tess.
No, true. Sophie, we've just heard that the Clunes book festival is about to be cancelled. Have you heard about that?
No, I heard that it was probably going to happen. The Newcastle Writers' Festival has been cancelled. I think Sydney Writers' Festival, it's not clear if it's been cancelled. They might decide to stream. I actually think what's going to have to happen is event organisation is going to have to figure out some ways of delivering content.
That's provided that Malcolm Turnbull's NBN holds up, though.
Well, sure. I live in Fitzroy. We still don't have it.
I live in St Kilda. We still don't have it either.
I have it in Pasco Vale.
Right.
Look, it's not a good solution. I think that we were going to have a big strategy day, the Book Industry Climate Action Group, but we've actually put that off because there's people having to deal with so much at the moment. So we were going to do it in a week. I think we're going to put it off in 6 weeks or something because it's a really difficult time to see straight. So, and I think the arts community is totally knocked for six.
I agree.
By the pandemic. Everyone's on casual,
comedy
festivals.
Most people
on casual wages. I've just been at WOMAD, I was at Wellington Arts Festival, I was at Adelaide Writers Week, and they managed to sneak in under the wire, and they're all fantastic festivals. But it's incredibly, the entire community is about communicating to the public about events, about groups, you know, bringing people together. And yeah. It's going to be more challenged than some. Like, I can keep doing my job of writing on my own, but a lot of my work is about, and most writers and most artists' work is about engaging with the public. That's so that's a whole other thing. And it's not, I admit, it's a bit outside the purview of what we're doing, but it does. I mean, issues of sustainability are just affecting everyone in every way.
They certainly are. Sophie, unfortunately, we're out of time. But it's been really great to hear about the work that you're doing. Thank you for engaging with us this morning. Keep up the great
work. Sorry about banging my ear on the phone.
That's all right.
Don't worry about that.
We'll let you get away with it this
time. Sophie, we'd love to speak with you again once you've got a few more ideas and things under your belt.
Of course.
All the best. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.